You've all stacked dominoes up. You push them, and one hits the next one, and the next one hits the next one, and they go down and down and down and down. And that domino, it might just knock over one or two, or it might knock over two or three at a time, and they just span out. Boy, if you go online and punch in dominoes and watch some of the amazing domino effects that happen, it is incredible. It's incredible. Eventually, all the dominoes fall. Each domino affects another domino. You can get in line and take what it gives you, or you can make your own choice. You can get in line and get what it takes you, or you can make your own choice. Our lives are much the same as dominoes. Our lives, our actions affect people around us. It influences others. Our actions affect ourselves, our families, and others. And so today, I want us to take a look at that. How, like, do they really affect? I mean, my actions affect myself, but do they really affect somebody else? And do they really affect other people? Like, so let's look. We're going to look at 1 Kings today, where it clearly shows us that our lives affect ourselves, our actions affect ourselves, our family, and others. Let's take a look at Jeroboam's life. He was a ruler in Israel. He was one of the kings of Israel. And this is what we read in 1 Kings 14, verse 9. You have done more evil than all who lived before you. You have made yourself other gods, idols made of steel. You have provoked me to anger and thrust me behind your back. That's Jeroboam's life. He's more evil than any king before him, the Lord has said. So Jeroboam's evil. His actions are evil. Did they affect his life? Yes, they did. Because if we went back and we read the first four verses of 1 Kings chapter 14, we would see that Jeroboam's son is very sick. And Jeroboam decides that he needs to send his wife to the prophet to find out whether his son is going to survive this sickness or not. But Jeroboam won't go to the prophet himself. This prophet is the prophet that proclaimed Jeroboam that Jeroboam was going to be the king. So this prophet had good words for Jeroboam. But he asks his wife to disguise herself and go to the prophet. Why? Because Jeroboam's filled with fear. Why would Jeroboam be filled with fear to go see the prophet of God? Because he's done more evil than all of them before him. He doesn't want to go see a man of God. His life is wrapped up in fear. You understand where he's at? I know. When I do evil, when I do something that's wrong, I don't want to run to God or to anybody else that knows God. I don't want to be around a prophet of God. Man, I remember a prophet coming once to our church, and I was just petrified that this guy was going to lay out my life before me and go, you did this, you did this, you did this, you did that. Yeah, I don't want to be around a man of God when I've done evil. What do we do when we sin? Where do we put our sin? We hide it, don't we? Well, maybe you guys don't, but I do. I hide it. I go, oh, man, I've done that. I don't want anybody to know. We don't put our sins out on display. If we're an alcoholic and we're a Christian, do we leave our beer or our wine or our liquor out on the counter for all to see if we're an alcoholic? No way. Not if we're an alcoholic. Maybe if we're just having if we're a sociable drinker, then maybe we'll have a couple of beer in the fridge or something. But if we're an alcoholic, we don't want anybody to even know that we drink. We hide it. Why? Because we're fearful. So Jeroboam's sin, his evil actions affected him. He was filled with fear. Jeroboam's evil actions caused devastating effects for his family. Listen to 1 Kings 14:10. Because of this, I'm going to bring disaster. So because of this, because of your evil actions, I'm going to bring disaster on the house of Jeroboam. I will cut off from Jeroboam every last male in Israel, slave or free. I will burn up the house of Jeroboam as one burns dung until it is all gone. What is the Lord saying there? I'm going to wipe out all of Jeroboam's family, all the males in Jeroboam's line. Jeroboam will not have people surviving him. Eventually, I will wipe out the whole family. Why? Because of Jeroboam's sin. Did Jeroboam's domino hit his family? It did. Because if you go to 1 Kings 15, verse 29, I believe it is, somewhere around there anyhow. Yeah, 1 Kings 15, 29, you will read that all of Jeroboam's family, all the males in the family, were wiped out. His sin affected them. But that doesn't happen these days. Well, it doesn't probably happen that all our family gets wiped out. It could. It could. I mean, take for instance, somebody who's in the gang or in a mafia, and one thing happens, they take out the whole family because the new leader doesn't want any of the old leaders around. But let's not get so severe. That's probably not going to happen to us. None of you are involved in the mafia, are you? No? Good, good. Because I didn't want to get wiped out. But let me tell you, I remember I did drugs, and I sold drugs, and I got caught. And the police came into our, I think I told you the story of the police coming into our house and arresting me at 7:30 in the morning, on a school morning, and hauling me off in the police car. Now that, my evil at that time affected me, but it also affected my family, my mom and my dad. They had to come to the courthouse because after I was released in their custody. My dad was not very happy, to tell you the least. It was not a pleasant car ride home. I heard a few things that I didn't want to hear, but the domino effect touched my family. I hurt my family. Let me tell you another incident. I'm going to have to pay my daughter after this, but when she was only a little girl, about two, I don't even know if she, yeah, probably two. Anyhow, this is before I was a Christian, I used to race four-wheel drives. Oh, by the way, when I was selling drugs, it was before I was a Christian too. Just so you know that, I don't want you to get confused. But what happened was, I would put Lee in the back of our Jeep, and she would play in the back of the Jeep while I was fixing it and getting it ready to race. Well, my language wasn't very good when I smashed my knuckles or something wasn't going right. One day, Lee and I were driving to town, and she was holding on to the back seat of our pickup truck, and you didn't have to have seatbelts back then, and she's just standing there, and we're driving to town, and she's going, blop, 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 and I'm going, oh, where did you learn that from? The domino effect. Our sin affects other people. It affects our families. Jeroboam's sin affected his family. Jeroboam's actions also caused enormous problems for the nation of Israel. Listen to 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 15. And the Lord will strike Israel so that it will be like a reed swaying in the water. He will uproot Israel from this good land that he gave to their forefathers and scatter them beyond the river, because they provoked the Lord to anger by making Asherah poles. And that's what the Lord did. He uprooted Israel because of Jeroboam's sin. And his sin and his actions went against onto his family. And his family and the actions spread out to the nation. The nation started worshiping idols. And it happened to his whole family, to the nation. There was a problem. See, the dominoes in Jeroboam's life have knocked over many. They've gone from his own life to his family to the nation of Israel. Let's look at the dominoes. You have troubles with dominoes. Let's look at the dominoes of another life. Let's look at 1 Kings chapter 15, where we read of King David, who has been dead at this time for a number of years. But he's mentioned in 1 Kings 15:5, we read this. For David had done what was right in the eyes of the Lord, and had not failed to keep any of the Lord's commands all the days of his life, except in the case of Uriah the Hittite. Now, David's not a perfect man. He's sinned, and everything's not really good in his life, but he's done what is right in God's eyes. In other words, he's come to God and asked God for his forgiveness when he needs it. David's right actions doesn't fill him with fear like Jeroboam's actions did. David's right actions fills him with faith. David always wants to talk with God. He always wants to be near God. We read that in the Psalms. We just have to read the book of Psalms, and we read how close David wants to be. David knew God looked upon the heart and was always concerned about his heart being right before God. So his actions spurred him to a closer relationship with God. David's right actions also affected his family. There were those from the line of David who sat on the throne of Israel for 400 years. 400 years the line of David sat on the throne. Now that doesn't mean that all those kings and all those related to David did right, and some of them were evil. But because of David, God let a man sit on the throne for 400 years. God blessed David and kept his family on the throne. So the domino effect starts. David is a righteous man. His blessing falls upon his family. Does his actions, does his blessing affect more than his family? First, before we go any further, let me show this to you. In 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 4, Jeroboam has died, and this is what is written. Nevertheless, for David's sake, the Lord his God gave him a lamp in Jerusalem by raising up a son to succeed him and by making Jerusalem strong. So Jeroboam did evil, and God is going to wipe out all Jeroboam's family. But before he does that, he raises up one of Jeroboam's sons to sit on the throne. Why? Because of David's righteousness, not because of Jeroboam's evil. And then, as I said, later on in history, all Jeroboam's family is wiped out. David's right actions affected the nation of Israel. Because of David's right actions, there was peace in the land. Because of David's right actions, there were men sitting on the throne, but also David's lineage goes right through to Christ. David's right actions affected the nation of Israel, affected our world today. The dominoes of David's right actions have affected many, many generations. Does that really happen? When I was thinking and reading this over this morning, I was thinking of Billy Graham. And I thought, wow, Billy Graham's right actions affected his own life and his own family. Because you see, Franklin Graham is a mighty man of God as well. Billy Graham's right actions didn't just affect his own life, affect his family, but affected many generations around the world. So our actions are like dominoes which affect ourselves, our families, and others. And the big difference between David's action and Jeroboam's actions and any other evil king's actions was the fact that David had a close relationship with God. James 4 and 8, the first part of 4 and 8, verse 8 says, "Come near to God and he will come near to you." See, as we draw near to God, we develop a close relationship with him, and our lives are filled with evil actions? No, right actions. Those actions that please God. Those right actions produce incredible effects in our lives, our families, and others. So we come near to God by making God first place in our life. He needs to be number one. There can't be anybody before God. My lovely wife is an incredible woman, but she can't come before God. God needs to come first in my life, then my wife, then my children, and then others. So we need to make God first place in our lives. We need to read the Bible. That's how we get close to God, is by reading his word, reading his story, hearing about him, knowing about him, allowing it to flood our hearts. And then we need to hang out with God's family. And that's what we're doing here today, but not just on Sundays. We need to do it. I mean, it's when we hang out with one another that's so incredible. And we get close to God that way. I want to tell you a story about a fellow that lives in Kamloops. I got permission to tell this story. His name's Mike. He came from a dysfunctional family, drugs and alcohol. And because of coming from a dysfunctional family, he was an addict. He was an alcoholic, did drugs. One night I got a phone call. We were having our small group, and I got a phone call. This is in Kamloops. And I got a phone call from Mike's brother and said, "Hey, my brother's in town. He missed his bus. He was in town for detox. He lives in Kelowna. He was supposed to go back on the bus. He missed the bus. Can I bring him to the small group tonight?" And I said, "Sure, bring him." And he came. And we went through our small group, and that night he gave his life to Jesus. He made God first place in his life that night. And he started hanging out with God's family. He did not go back to Kelowna. He never went back to Kelowna. He stayed around with us and hung out and started going to church. And he found God's forgiveness. His actions affected his life. He found God's forgiveness. He found God's love. He found God's kindness and goodness and faithfulness. And he also found God's judgment. He knew that God, there was consequences for his sin. And he'd had three impaired driving charges, and he was not allowed to drive. But he accepted that. It frustrated him. He was an apprentice mechanic. It's kind of hard for a mechanic to get a job if you can't drive. But his life started to change. He began to be filled with God's character, with the fruit of the Spirit. Mike was faithful to come to church. Did it affect his family? Well, his brother that brought him to our small group came to me one day and he says, "I can't believe how Mike's changed. I cannot believe Mike is such a different person. He's totally changed. He's not like my brother that I knew, completely changed." Mike had a number of brothers, and I'm sure they were all touched by his life. Unfortunately, all of them are, as far as I know, are walking without God right now. Mike's life started touching others in the church. See, I didn't tell you there was another girl, single girl, in our small group, and she would sit beside me every time we had a small group. And then Kathy, she sat on one side, Kathy sat on the other. And when Mike came to the small group, she didn't sit beside me anymore. She started sitting over beside Mike. And it wasn't long before I was doing their wedding. What a great occasion. What a great occasion. They got married. I think they have three children. They still live in Kamloops. Mike went on to, with his apprenticeship, he got a job with a fella, and he got his journeyman papers. He rented a space off another fellow in the church and started his own shop. He runs in a successful business. So when he started his own shop, he still wasn't allowed to drive because it was three strikes, you were out. I wrote a letter to the motor vehicle branch on behalf of him, and didn't seem to do any good. And we kept praying and praying. We moved to Nanaimo. Mike started his own mechanic shop. It's called The Garage. You can find it in Kamloops. Very successful. He's bought the building beside him. Still rents out the other one because he needs it, all its space. One day, we were visiting Kamloops, and Mike said to me, "Scott, come here. We're at church visiting." And he took me out in his parking lot. He opened there was this big, huge Ford pickup truck. He opened the door of it, pulled out a wallet, and showed me a driver's license. What a blessing. What a great. He's so involved in the church. He's so willing to help others. The domino effect, it affected Mike's life. It affected his family's life. It affects he's married, it affects his kids' life. It affects those in the church, the domino effect. Chances are, just because our actions are evil at times, our families will not be wiped out. There's a good chance that our families won't be wiped out, and that all the people in BC won't be scattered to the nations abroad because of our evil actions. Yet the consequences can be severe to ourselves, our families, and to others, unless we start to draw near to God. We can get in line and take what they give us, or we can make our own choice. We can step out of that line, and that's what Mike did. He stepped out of that line. He was in a family of addiction, that the dominoes were just pushing them over, one addict after another addict after another addict, and that's where his family was going. That's where his brothers are. They didn't step out of the line. One did for a while, but went back in. Our actions are affecting our lives, our families, and those around us. So the question is, who's influencing our lives? What domino is pushing us over? Are we close to God so that we're hanging around God's family, that we're reading God's word, that the dominoes that are going to push us over are only the things of God, or are they the other thing? Will we step out of the line and be close to God? And how are we influencing others? Are we a David or are we a Jeroboam? Are we influencing others away from the kingdom of God, or are we influencing others towards the kingdom? Last night, one of the members from our church were talking with at the wedding was talking with a young couple at the reception afterwards. That person influenced them, that young couple. That young couple told her that they would come to this church. I thought that was really cool. She was influencing for the kingdom of God in a place where it would have been easy to influence or at least just be quiet. Who's influencing us and who are we influencing? What are our actions? We want to be a David Domino. That's not David's last name. But we want to be somebody who's influencing for the kingdom. Amen?